Alex Newton is here, Beeston Chiropractor. Hello.
Good afternoon, Alan.
Right. I have to sort of start every interview and every chat with a reference to the weather at the moment because it's been so hot. In your line of work, does that make a difference? There you are, pulling and getting people to be a bit more lithe and loose? Get a bit of sweat on?
People feel very uncomfortable when they come in, especially because we sort of undress and put gowns on patients. So they're very conscious about their body odour and things like that. But we've got air conditioning in most of the rooms and lots of fans. And I think generally we just sort of get on with it. And
not a bad place to go to cool down then.
It's all right. Most people say how cool it is in there. Yeah. So it's nice.
Yeah. People may be slapping on the ice packs, not because they've got any aches and pains, just because it's a nice cooling thing to stick on the shoulders.
We're not having anybody complain when we advise them to use ice packs at the moment, so yes, good. Yeah. They're using them in abundance.
And of course then come the weekend, or when you've got a few hours off work, if you're lucky enough to have a bit of garden and something to lie on, you'll be stretched out on your sun lounger, phone rings, you try and get up, it's gone, because you're laying on a lounger that's a bit close to the ground.
Yeah, we see quite a few people, particularly when they've been on holiday, and I think this is something we mentioned before, is that when you go on holiday, you tend to do something different to what you're normally doing when you're at work. So if you have a very active job, when you go on holiday, you want to lie around and relax and sit around and relax, and vice versa. And we see a lot of people who come in when they've been lying down, even if it's for a day or so, on those sun loungers, which give you, they're very flat, give you no support whatsoever. So be mindful of that when you are lying down. Alter your position frequently, perhaps lie with your knees bent, things underneath the back of your legs to flatten your back a little bit, some extra towels, maybe cushions probably not available when you're on holiday, but extra towels under the small of your back and certainly under the back of your neck. Be wary of lying on your tummy as well, because that's a big one. It tends to extend the spine too much and can cause jamming of what we call the facet joints, the little articulating joints at the back of the spine, and that can cause inflammation and a lot of backache when you get up and trying to sort of, you can't actually bend then because you feel like you're stuck in that extended position. So again, some towels underneath your abdomen and lying on there, so you're keeping a nice neutral spine is really important.
All the problems that we face trying to relax and ending up making it worse, so bear some of that in mind. I think as you get older, it does feel as though things are a little more prone to going twang or stiffness and things like that. What's happening there? Why as we get older, do we get more stiff?
Well, there's lots of fundamental things that are happening as we reach into sort of middle age. Any time for sort of 30, 40 plus, various chemical changes start occurring in our bodies that we really need to be aware of. And one of the biggest things that as chiropractors we try and do is keep obviously everybody moving. And we all think about our hearts and lungs and that sort of thing for the risk of heart problems and lung disease. But actually what we need to do is keep our body strong, and by keeping the strength high and good muscle tone within our bodies, it can have a multitude of benefits. For example, our bone structure starts to deteriorate quite quickly after the age of about 35. You get a reduction in bone density, and then therefore by the time we get into our 50s, we've got a greater risk of osteoporosis. And there's something like 3 million people in the UK that suffer from osteoporosis. So by keeping your bones strong, muscles strong, it can help maintain bone strength. You've got the added sort of menopause going on in there, which reduction in estrogen levels that can affect bone density as well. But actually, if we start strengthening our muscles to keep our bodies well toned, the body will actually start to put more bone back down again, so you're actually going to rebuild bone again. So be aware of strength.
Osteoporosis is one of those scary things when people hear about it, because it, you know, can lead to difficulties later in life, but there's no way of knowing you've got it until it's made itself apparent, is there?
Well, usually the signs are, have you broken your wrist, you've broken your hip, you break ribs, those sorts of things.
But by then, is it a bit too late to be doing anything about it?
It isn't too late. Obviously, there's lots of medications there. Be mindful of diet, increasing calcium, vitamin D supplements. And obviously, we're very aware in this country that because we're north of the equator, that we're not getting enough sunlight. Aha, last few weeks have been exceptional. But we've got to have that sort of vitamin D input through the year. So we really should be taking a vitamin D supplement to facilitate that bone density.
It is one of those things where prevention is so much better than an attempted cure for osteoporosis. And that is a lifestyle and a diet choice, but an exercise thing as well.
Absolutely, yes.
So worth bearing that in mind.
And obviously moving on to the risk of falls, because we don't want to find out that we've got osteoporosis by falling. So again, by keeping muscles strong, making sure that you have good balance. We don't need to be strong just to be able to lift things about, but we need to be strong to maintain balance. And if we lose our balance because we've got poor strength within our body, then we have a higher increased risk of falls. And obviously there's increase of mobility from that, and some life-changing things happen as a result of falling when we get older. We don't fall as readily as the youngsters do. We don't bounce back. Our bones are much more brittle. The breaks and fractures and things can be much more complicated and complex and often require surgery. And that can be a life-changing thing for a lot of people.
Talk in a few minutes on BBC Radio, asking about things you can do to make sure you are avoiding such pitfalls, and the exercise that you might need to do, and whether just daily life can provide enough exercise. I'm hoping the answer to that last question is Alex Newton, chiropractor from Beeston, talking about staying fit and flexible as you get older, as we all are, day by day. Nothing you can do about it, but you can try and prevent the stiffness coming in and try and prevent the incidences of falls, because it's easy enough when people talk about older people and they've had a fall, you imagine they've sort of tripped on something, and actually it can sometimes be literally a joint gives way momentarily and you just collapse like a sack of potatoes. Is that right?
Yeah, most people that we see have usually sort of caught their foot on a curb or an uneven pavement or sort of changed direction. There are people who have problems when they give way, but they don't tend to. They're more mindful of those sorts of things.
Right.
So, the majority of people that we see that have fallen is because they've tripped or stumbled on something. Mm. But again, it's about recovering from that. So, if you've got good body strength and good balance to start with, if you're going to trip and stumble, then you're going to recover much quicker. And also, when you do fall, if you've got good body mass, then you're going to be less likely to break something. So, it's all about the cushioning as well, and the recovery period as well. Because if you're going to have periods of time off because you're immobile, then body tone and muscle tone is going to reduce very quickly, and that's to be something very mindful of as well.
We are sort of millimetres away from the point in the conversation where Alex starts recommending exercise. I know that, and I always try and steer away. I like to think that because I don't do any specific exercises, but I like to think my life is sufficiently active with walking the dogs, bending down after the dogs, doing the dishwasher, doing my shoelaces up. I'm getting enough bending and stretching in my life. Is there any merit in my approach there?
Unfortunately, when you've been doing something repetitively for about 6 weeks, it's as if your body's not actually going to benefit or gain any more from that.
Oh.
So exercise should be something that is very disciplined. It should be timetabled and planned, and should have an ever increasing objective. So you should be saying that every 6 weeks or 3 months, you should just change the parameters slightly. So, for example, yes, great, walking the dog, doing some gardening, that sort of thing. But actually, you know what, in 6 weeks time, instead of walking the same walk I'm going to do, I'm going to do it twice as fast, or I'm going to do a little bit further, I'm going to put an extra loop on it, or I'm going to increase the speed at which I do it. It doesn't really matter which parameter you change, as long as you change something every 6 weeks or so. So you could go a little bit further, a little bit faster, or for a little bit longer. Or you can say, actually, you know what, I'm going to put some books in my rucksack, and I'm going to sort of increase my weight, so I'm going to increase my body resistance there. Or maybe use some walking poles, so you're actually using your upper body as well, so we get into that sort of Nordic walking type of thing. So anything that's a progressive thing is what we need to be looking at, and something that's relatively timetabled. So you'll say, yes, my walks twice a day are timetabled, but actually just try and push yourself a little bit further. Do the dogs good too.
Yeah, okay. They may object to the notion of going any faster, even as greyhounds. And you mentioned Nordic poles. See, I've often wondered, there are people near where I live that have them, and I think, why have you got those? What's that all about? You're not skiing, you don't need poles. Explain to me what they do.
But it's going to increase the... for starters, it's good stability. So I have a lot of patients who worry about their stability, particularly when they've had back or leg or hip problems, that they are worried about getting out and about and walking because they're feeling unconfident and a lack of confidence there. So if you put walking poles in, not just a walking stick. Walking sticks, you're just leaning on one side. And one pole, you're going to have a tendency to lean to one side. But two poles makes you stand upright. You're going to... push your chest back, increase the amount of air that you can take into your lungs, but you're also using your upper body in a way that you're actually burning more calories, you're increasing muscle strength.
So it forces you to do this with your arms, basically. Without poles, you'd look a bit daft.
Not twice as hard, maybe, but certainly there's a large percentage of increase exercise by using the poles as well.
All right. I just thought it was for show. But there's a reason for it.
No.
Okay. Alex Newton is here, chiropractor from Beeston. I should say that when Alex came in, we had a bit of a rearrange of the chairs in the studio.
Of course.
And you found the chair with arms on and said, good, I've got a chair with arms. And then you said, your chair hasn't got arms on, Alan. And I went and found one that has. What's the benefit of an office chair with arms?
We talked about this last time, that if you're up and down frequently through the day, you really need to be pushing up from the arms of the chair rather than the desk, so your spine doesn't twist.
Right.
And it's even more important these days, because a lot of people hot desk, yourself included, you find that there are other people using the room at the same time. So just spend a few minutes before you start work setting up the chair rather than just plonking down on it, whoever used it before you, and make sure it's the right height for you, make sure it's high enough, the arms are set there, the backrest is set there, and everything you need to work through your day, so that you're not overstretching and overturning and causing potential problems by the end of your 4 hours you sit here sometimes.
Okay, I will try and have the arms on my chair in future, but I have to adjust them so they don't bash into the equipment.
That's
but I've
okay.
just about got them right here. And so on to some exercise ideas for people getting older and staying flexible. So you've shot down my suggestion that if we have a reasonably active life of emptying washing machines and dishwashers and taking dogs for walks, that maybe you don't have to exercise. You've explained to me patiently why that's not the case. So another thing about getting older, of course, people accept this as just par for the course. You tend to put on a few pounds. You get a bit of middle-aged spread, they used to call it. And so it's inevitable. Nothing you can do about it.
Well, it's getting that balance right, isn't it? If we increase our muscle tone, we're less likely to increase the pounds. So you will burn off those calories and change that fat into muscle by increasing that body strength, which is what we've been talking about.
Mm.
And really, I think when you were just talking there about your chores, that is what you're doing. Your chore is walking the dog, your chore is emptying the dishwasher, mowing the lawn, they're all chores. Exercise should be fun. It should be invigorating. It should make you want to do more. It should be addictive and adrenaline seeking. And I think at the end of the day, if you're going to find an exercise, you should do something that you want to do. Buddy up with somebody as well, whether it's your partner or your friend, because then you've got more incentive to go because you don't want to let somebody else down. The hardest thing about going and doing exercise, particularly as we get older, is actually going to do it. So once you've got out there, once you're doing it, and when you've done it, you always feel fantastic. You feel great for doing it. So choose something that you enjoy doing. People say, do you think I should go swimming? Well, do you like swimming? I don't know. If you don't like swimming, don't go swimming. If you don't like yoga, don't do yoga. Do something that you like doing. Find something that makes you buzz. And you see these marathon runners and people that do long distance running. How can they run so much? And that's because the more they do, the more they want to do. It gives them inspiration. It makes them feel better. And that's the thing with exercise. Because you've got this ongoing forward movement of every sort of 6 weeks, changing your goals, changing your parameters, you want to do more, achieve more. And we always, as a society, we always want more. The less you do, the less you'll want to do, and you've got yourself into that sort of vicious circle of actually becoming quite sedentary. So get out there, find buddy up with somebody or a group of friends, get out there, play tennis, play badminton, do yoga, do cycling, do swimming, do walking, whatever, but make it a fun thing to do, and then you're more likely to stick at it.
So that will help to avoid aches and pains. It could lead to better bone density, so later in life you will be less likely to suffer fractures if you have a fall. Any other benefits from a life with a bit of regular exercise in your middle age, in your 50s?
There's that awful diabetes word about, isn't there? And again, by exercising, you're going to, and increasing your body to muscle tone, you're going to help regulate the blood sugar in your blood, the sugar in your blood that's being rotated around there, and reduces the risk of developing maturity onset diabetes, which there's a bit of an epidemic on that at the moment. So another good reason. We also worry about our men's testosterone levels. They're going to reduce as we get older. It's frightening to know that between the age of 35 and 40 is when your testosterone levels start to reduce at a rate of 1 to 3% a year. I was quite horrified to hear that, because that's quite significant, isn't it? So by increasing your body muscle tone, your body strength, you're going to maintain those testosterone levels. And then obviously going into the male menopause is something that we often see, and we sort of laugh about it a little bit, but it's quite realistic.
The
male menopause, have you not heard of that? That's when you sort of have low moods, depression, it affects your sleep, and obviously the good old-fashioned belly weight gain. That's all part of the male menopause. So be mindful of that by increasing that body muscle tone and body muscle strength. It reduces the risk of that occurring.
Well, it's a message that probably has been heard once or twice before, because it's not an unusual thing to say, take a bit more exercise in your life. But you've given us good reasons, more than just staying fit. There's real long-term health benefits, and the sooner one gets started with a bit of exercise with friends, doing something you really enjoy, the better it will be. So, Alex, thank you very much for your inspiration.
You're welcome.
Good to see you. Alex Newton, Beeston Chiropractor, for you on BBC Radio Nottingham.